Hello, and welcome to Every Woman. This is Marvita Oliver, and I'm surrounded by a host of people, starting with... Yeah, let's just all chime in.
Fiona Nowling.
Fiona Nowling. Angela, you should do it again.
What's up, world? Angela believes in the studio.
And
Anthony Simbright.
Yeah, and we're here celebrating the beginning of Black History Month. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and welcome to the show. We're also celebrating our KKFI pledge period, so don't hesitate to give us a call at 888-931-0901. And I'd just like to talk to you today about our special show. We're having an interview that was pre-recorded. It's Black History Month, and this special treat is going to be an interview of one of Kansas City's historical figures, Mama Charlotte O'Neill. She's one of the founding members of the Kansas City chapter of the Black Panther Party. Many of you probably know her. She was born in Wyandotte County. She spent all of her childhood in Kansas City. And at the tender age of 18, she made a dramatic change in her life. And we'll hear more about that as we play this recording. I was fortunate enough to meet Mama Charlotte O'Neill at Johnson County Community College at a diversity and inclusion event. And she was gracious enough to give me an interview. Mama Charlotte speaks about the importance of community service and the spirit of volunteerism, along with many other things. In this interview, she talks about so many people and historical facts that we will recognize. And then she gives us some tidbits about things that we might not have known, and I was really appreciative. So this music that is playing is part of a music that she helped to produce. You'll find it on YouTube. The name of this music is
Cry of Mother Earth.
The Cry of Mother Earth, and you can find it on YouTube if you look up Mama Charlotte O'Neill or this song. So, without any further ado, listen in. I think you're going to enjoy this interview of Mama Charlotte O'Neill. And we're here today with a very special guest. We have Mama Charlotte Hill O'Neill. Mama Charlotte is a former Kansas City Black Panther member. She is the wife of Pete O'Neill, who was also a member of the Black Panthers. And she's a mother and is presently the co-director of the United African Alliance Community Center located in Tanzania. She has a lot behind her name, and I'm going to ask if she can tell us more about herself. Mama Charlotte, welcome to our show.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction, sister. And I'd like to add to your description of me that I am also an artist, a visual artist, a painter and a sculptor and an art quilter. I'm also a musician and a poet. So, but first and foremost, I am still a community activist, which is what I have been since I was 18 years old and joined the Black Panther Party. I'd also like to point out that my husband, Brother Pete O'Neill, was the founder of the Kansas City chapter, and he was our chair person. Mm-hmm. So, yes, and I'm feeling good here in Kansas City. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And actually, I'm going back home to Arusha, Tanzania at UAACC in a few days. So I'm happy to do this interview with you, and I hope your listeners enjoy.
Well, I'm glad we were able to catch you on your whirlwind tour. You're just getting back from California. And before that, you were back here in Kansas City, and you spoke at a function with the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, where we were able to hear a little bit about some of the things that have been going on with you in Tanzania and about how you where Caillou had lived in Kansas City before. Can you tell us a little bit about coming up in Kansas City?
I sure can. You know, and it has indeed been a whirlwind tour. Just 3 months. Can you imagine? 3 months, all kind of beautiful communities, and sometimes the weather wasn't too good, but today it is. Indeed, I grew up, I was born and raised in Kansas City. Kansas City, Kansas, as a matter of fact, Wyandotte County, went to Dunbar's North grade school, mm-hmm. right off of 7th Street. Okay. And then I was what I like to refer to as a busing victim. Uh-huh. You know, my family's home was on Greeley, 8th and Greeley, but when I was 12, my parents built a house out there in Brentwood. It was called Weaver Estates. And because of that, I was in a different school zone mm-hmm. and had to be bused. This is actually my first time being with white students. This was a newly integrated school, and it was quite a challenge for me, especially because most of my classmates, school chums who I had grown up with, they were going to Northeast, where I had always dreamed of going. But I weathered the initial storm, and I got used to a whole different kind of community, and I think this is what probably started my curiosity about different people and culture all around the world. I've never lost that curiosity. So I did very good in school. I went to Wyandotte High School, which had been newly integrated for just 3 years. Mm-hmm. So again, that was a different kind of environment. I worked on the school paper there. I was very active in the orchestra and the choir, and just about everything. I was inducted as a member of the National Honor Society. I had actually received a scholarship to go to a college in Austin. I wanted to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And then I started seeing these news reports on TV. And they were talking about the Black Panther Party.
Here in Kansas City,
oh. Sister. And I started seeing images of these brothers and sisters in the Kansas City Star newspaper and the Kansas City Call and some of the other papers. And I actually cut out some of the articles and taped them to my bedroom wall. And I would look at those, you know, these revolutionaries every day. And I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would actually meet Brother Pete O'Neill. And not only meet him, but marry him at the age of 18 mm-hmm. and still be his wife after 41 years.
Wow, that's something.
So I always like people to know that it wasn't just the fact that these were some fine-looking brothers in their berets and dark glasses and leather jackets. No, it was more than that. It was what I learned about the breakfast programs here in three locations. All the locations were churches. I know one was St. Stephen's. I think one was St. Mark's, I think. I don't remember what the other one was. What is the church that Mayor Cleaver is the...
I'm not sure.
St. Thomas? Whatever, it was three churches
okay.
who were very supportive. And this is where we would feed at least 750 children every day.
Oh.
And when you mesh this with the fact that these Breakfast for School Children programs were feeding thousands of children all over America and actually became the prototype, the pilot projects for the United States government, who had not started these free lunch programs or breakfast programs. It was the Black Panther Party who first started that. And sister, you know, it blows my mind. The fact that we were so young.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us were younger than 20. Mm-hmm. We're teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
15. My brother-in-law, Brian O'Neill, he was 15 years old when he joined.
Mm-hmm.
I was 18.
Was there a lot of that kind of community service?
It was.
Stuff happening at the
it
time?
Was, and you said such a key word.
Mm-hmm.
And those two words that you said is what has been our mainstay for all these years. As members of the Black Panther Party, we were taught community service.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the spirit of volunteerism. And this is what we have continued to impart at the United African Alliance Community Center. You know, it being a member of the Black Panther Party, sister, taught me how to work very, very hard. You know, and it has just been a guiding light for so much in my life. It continues to impact me, and that's one of the biggest blessings that I have had in my life is being a Panther. You know, I'm very proud of that experience. And it's something that many people continue to have misconceptions about what being a Panther was, to the point where they can even describe us as having been racist. You know, why? Because the news media tried their best to portray us like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were anything but that.
Mm-hmm.
We built coalitions with people from all community, all races. As a matter of fact, many people don't realize that our first field marshal in the Black Panther Party was a Japanese-American brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, again, that's another thing that, you know, that has continues to impact me. The fact that we continue to look at ourselves as members of the global community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of the global family. And when I go on these speaking tours, sister, that is what I try to impart to all these young people that I speak to. You know, to take the blinders off and check out your relationship to the rest of the world. It's interdependent now, you
right.
know.
We've heard a little bit about your coming up in Kansas City, and that's when you first saw the Black Panthers and the literature and met your husband, P. O'Neill. Were there a lot of other people involved at the level that you were, or the age that you were involved?
Well, not a whole lot of people, but, you know, I can remember the day that it was announced that Reverend Martin Luther King had gotten assassinated,
mm-hmm.
and we were in school at Wyandotte High School, and I was one of the youth who led like a, I guess it was a protest or demand or whatever, that the flag be flown half-mast.
Mm-hmm.
And the school didn't want to do it, so we led a walkout, and we closed the school down, you know, led a walkout to Sumner High School because we wanted to liberate the youth there. And when we got to Sumner High School, they had gotten the word that we were coming. So they steered us. They were very smart. They didn't, like, try to stop us or anything. They cooperated. That was so smart.
Mm-hmm.
And they steered everybody into the auditorium.
Uh-huh.
And in the auditorium, we were able to do an impromptu, what would you say, tribute.
Uh-huh.
To and also to let off steam, see.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, I remember some of the youth went up on Minnesota, and some of them, smashed windows and stuff, which we certainly weren't advocating that, you
mm-hmm.
know. So so that was like a core group of activists, and I had been a member of the Kansas City School of Human Dignity, and what we did is go around to different schools and community centers and even churches and talk what we used to call Black History.
Mm-hmm.
I was also invited to do that in some of the classes in Wyandotte High School.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always, from the time I was 17, I guess, I was an activist, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Teaching? So I was asking how many other people were involved.
Oh. As far as the Black Panther Party went, I don't remember how many members we actually had. And that was something that was always rather sensitive, so I probably wouldn't tell you no way.
Okay.
But I'm making a joke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there was a pretty sizable core of young people who would even if they weren't Panthers and couldn't go through the training that was mandatory to be a Panther, they at least would come and help, you know, in different programs and everything. Because we had not only the Breakfast with School Children program, we had a health clinic, the Bobby Hutton Free Medical Clinic, and we got support from various doctors and pharmacists who helped, you know, have things like vitamins and basic first aid, where people could come there and, you know, get fixed up. And we work with the welfare rights organizations. We work with people to make sure that they knew their rights. So there were lawyers who would volunteer their time. It was like everybody wanted to do something, you know, across the board. It was a beautiful thing. And this was happening not only in America. It was happening in Africa. It was happening in parts of Europe. A lot of it, one of the bonding factors was the Vietnam War also. So Brother Pete, he said that it's like there was a certain different powerful alignment of the planets that at that time that seemed to send out some kind of vibes that really made people come together, you know. And I see a lot of that now during this year's Heal the Community Tour, which I want to talk on.
Well, go ahead. What is the Heal the Community Tour?
The Heal the Community Tour it came about basically, it grew out of the Heal the Community Exchange Program. Brother Pete inaugurated the Heal the Community Exchange Program in 1995 by making a solo climb of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, really?
Yes. He said that's the hardest physical thing he's ever done in his life. And he did this in order to illustrate to young people that if you are determined, if you are focused, if you, you know, if you're determined and focused, that you can do just about anything in your life, you know. And he inaugurated it like that. And then through an essay contest, the first participants from De La Salle Education Center came to participate. They too climbed the mountain, and we coupled them with Tanzanian youth. They went up the mountain together, and the first participant was Vanessa Wedlow with her counselor Sharon Thomas. Since then, we've had several of the same Hill Community Exchange programs, even where we were able to bring Tanzanian youth here who were able to share about their culture. Now, the Hill Community Program,
are they like exchange students or just for the tour?
Not really exchange students in the conventional sense of the word. When the youth from Kansas City came, these were youth who had been having problems in their life. They might have been gang members. They might have problems with drugs. At-risk youth, who were getting a second chance at De La Salle. And that's what the program encompassed, working with at-risk youth, bringing them to Tanzania, exposing them to Tanzanian youth who are living their dreams, you know, who are upstanding people in the community, but who share some of the same difficulties in life as they do. Exposing and immersing these youth from Kansas City into the culture there. And inevitably, they will change. Inevitably, all these youth who have participated have come back to Kansas City and seriously done something with their lives. You know, we continue to stay connected. We get reports and, you know, we communicate sometimes.
Okay.
So it's a really, really good program. Yeah.
So then, how many students have been through this?
Well,
or how long have you been doing this?
We've been doing this since 1995.
Oh, okay.
But the Heal Community Tour is what it basically boils down to is talking about our work, and I'm going to explain the United African Alliance Community Center, what we do there.
Okay.
It's speaking about our work, and it's promoting the spirit of volunteerism, the spirit of community, networking, and lately, in the last couple of years, I've also had the blessing to be able to perform. You know, I've been singing a lot. I've been doing a lot of spoken words. So that's like an added bonus for me, myself. So I'm invited to many universities and community centers across America to do just this, and also to screen A Panther in Africa, which is about Brother Pete's history and our work, and it's by Aaron Matthews. It's an award-winning film that is still shown on PBS throughout the year all over across America, and still in many film festivals.
Mm-hmm. And that's dealing with him in Tanzania and the
and his history here,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
And some of his history here in America.
So you were speaking about the what?
Our work.
What? Yeah, the work at the Hill Community Tour and at the the United African Alliance Community Center. So you one of the things is bringing in troubled youth and helping them to see a different lifestyle,
right,
to convince them that they have some other alternatives.
Yes.
And they're choosing those alternatives.
Yes, and they're choosing those alternatives. Mm-hmm. And then the other...
You said also some of the Tanzanian youth are able to come over here. What happens when they come here?
Well, they've been able to share about their culture,
mm-hmm,
interact with the youth here, and impress upon them also this positivity and the positive lifestyle that they live.
Mm-hmm.
At the United African Alliance Community Center, we have daily classes for the youth there at our center, and it is an integral part of the community. There's community ownership, you know. We have language classes, computer classes, music classes, dance classes, debates, life skills classes, design and sewing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a music studio, Peace Power Productions, where youth in the community are able to come and realize their voices and make their poetry known. We have yoga, sports. But one of the most important relatively new programs that we have is the Leaders of Tomorrow Children's Home,
mm-hmm,
where we're raising 22 children. Some are orphans, some come from very destitute families in our surrounding communities. And we're educating these children and providing their medical. They live right there with us, and they're able to maintain their community ties because, for instance, every month we have a community gathering where the elders come and the young people and the children show them demonstrate to them what they have been learning,
mm-hmm,
that month. You know, so there's a lot going on. We have a water project.
What is involved in that?
When Brother Geronimo Jijaga, who is one of our Panther comrades and who had been unjustly imprisoned here in America, he's a political prisoner for 27 years, and when he was finally released after years and years of bringing evidence before the court and family, they had to say, okay, yes, you right, you innocent.
Uh-huh.
They let him out. After I'd been there 27 years,
mm-hmm,
and they gave him a large monetary compensation.
Uh-huh.
So he went to many places in the world, seeing what his comrades were doing and what needs they might have had. Our biggest need was water at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So not only for us, but for people in our village, you know, where sisters are having to walk like 4 or 5 miles a day to get a bucket of water. One,
mm-hmm,
bucket of water.
Right.
So he gave us $10,000 in order for us to dig a well.
Mm-hmm.
And when we dug the well, of course, the first thing we did was put taps for the community.
Yeah.
So that was the water project. And then we've had the solar project where we were able to bring in 85 solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
We want to expand the solar project because... and investigate about, you know, this new green, so-called green industry, because I think if we are able to bring something like that to our community, that not only will the environment benefit, but youth will be able to get jobs.
Yeah.
And so this is another thing that I learned during this tour about this, the opportunities in the green industry.
With the green industry, do you see much of that over in Tanzania so far as solar projects or anything like that?
You do have solar projects, but I think some of the things I've been reading, and I want to investigate a little bit more before I can really make an educated discussion on it, is it's even more than solar power.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way people deal with the land, you know, and of course wind power.
Right.
And water power, you know. So I'm kind of excited about that, no? Really going to see what we can do. Another thing that I enjoy personally working with is the hip-hop artists there. Hip-hop is very, very strong in East Africa, indeed all over Africa. And I'm talking about socially conscious hip-hop that has taken it back to the way it used to be. With that in mind, we have conferences throughout the year on what can we do to keep hip-hop relevant to the community, you know?
Well, okay. We've talked a lot about your beginnings here in Kansas City. We've talked some about what's going on in Tanzania with the United African Alliance Community Center, how to relationship with the Panthers has been in your life and with the work that you've been doing since you became involved with the Panthers. What would you say where would you say things will be headed for yourself and for the projects that you're involved with as far as the future goes?
I see myself and my husband continuing to expand as much as we can, because, you know, all of our work has always grown in a rather organic manner. Mm-hmm. It's not like we always say, okay, this is going to happen this year, that is going to happen this year. We have basic plans, but like I said, things grow organically. So I know that we will continue to offer opportunities for the young people that we work with. I'm very excited about working more with the children at the Leaders of Tomorrow Children Home, because they are so talented and so smart, you know, and also expanding things with the youth that we work with now. People can find out more about the work that we do at our website that I'll give them.
What was that website?
It's www.uaacc.habari. That's H-A-B as in ball, A-R-I .co.tz. And also, I will continue to come to the States to commute back and forth, because it's good to get this word out. It's good to keep inspiring people that they can help with projects both in Tanzania and in their own communities. Mm-hmm. We host study abroad groups from colleges and universities all over America, and they come there and they participate and they volunteer. I don't think I said that all of our teachers at the center are volunteers. Mm-hmm. Many of them are students who graduated from our community programs and come back themselves and volunteer. So I will definitely be back probably in February next year.
Okay.
And in the meantime, I will continue doing what I can, and my husband will continue doing what we can together to uplift our community and to provide positive examples for the youth and for the elders. I can't wait to get back into the studio because I'm working on my fourth solo album. Mm-hmm. I have 8 tracks already. Most of it is spoken word. But I love to be in the studio and I love to perform, you know. So it's a lot to do. I also have, I'm going to rest a few days when I get back and then I have to get ready for, we're starting a project with Betty Shabazz International Charter School. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we're doing is a video, kind of a webcam pen pal kind of thing. And we're having a test run on the 14th.
Oh.
So we got to get ready for that. We're also doing a similar project with the Lotus Academy, which is a freedom school in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of exciting things going on. I am so inspired by the different communities that I visited this year. Mm-hmm. You know, the communities in Philly and in Brooklyn and in the Bronx and Baltimore and D.C. and Chicago. In Chicago, I spoke at the DuSable Museum. There's a big exhibition on the Black Panther Party, and mm-hmm. one evening I talked about our work in history and screened the film A Panther in Africa, and the next night we had a panel discussion. There was 5 Panther sisters, and we took Q&A from the audience. Then there's the communities in California and in Seattle and in Phoenix and Atlanta, and I'm telling you, everywhere I have gone, I've seen the spirit of community, the spirit of family, the spirit of volunteerism is running rife, y'all. Mm-hmm. And it's growing and growing and growing, and I'm just happy to be a part of that.
Well, Mama C, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come and visit you and to hear about all of your, or some of your, activities as a young student who was interested and curious and became an activist as a early member of the Black Panther Party in Kansas City. We were glad to hear about the things that are happening in Tanzania. It's, I think Africa is becoming more something that people in America can talk about with a little bit more understanding and not feel so ignorant about as before. It's not too long ago, people in America just didn't touch Africa,
yes.
You know, as a topic.
Yes.
So it's good that we're able to talk about what's going on in Africa and to hear about the young students and the things that they're interested in, to also hear about how students from here, when they go over to Africa, they come back change people.
Yes.
And that's something that people may not be able to relate to, but you talk to different people, young students, all ethnicities, you know, and they'll say, oh, it was the greatest experience.
Yes. Yes.
And this is with all the hardships, no water, you
yes.
know, all the things you have to deal with,
because yes.
it's a whole bunch you have to deal with sometimes.
Yes.
But the whole experience is something that people are glad they were able to be involved in.
I agree. So I urge your listeners to find a way to come to Tanzania. When you do, please know, if you come to your ACC, you're very welcome. You will be at home, and we will expect you to volunteer whatever knowledge you have. Karibuni, that means welcome.
All right. Well, we thank you so much. So just want to say thank you so much for joining us on that, for this special interview of Mama Charlotte O'Neill. I was so blessed to be able to interview her. And if you do want to find out more about her, you can also go online to uaacc.net. That's their organization is still running strong in Tanzania and Africa, and she spends a lot of her time visiting here in the States as well.
So we have a Champions Challenge that is running right now, as Mr. Sundahl intimated to everyone. Valerie Andrus will, for the next 15 minutes, be matching up to $100 that is donated to help keep every woman and all of the rest of our fantastic programs that we have here at 90.1 FM KKFI on the air. Valerie Andrus is a former president of our board of directors. She serves on the Fool Killer Folk ensemble cast that runs that great show, as well as many other things that she and her family have done at the station over the years.
And we definitely want to take as much money from her as possible. We like her very, very much, but we really want to take her money.
This is a great situation where your donations are doubled.
You can do this.
You have double the donating power right now. If you donate $10, it turns into $20. If you donate $20, it turns into
$40. Hey.
And you can donate and split it out through the year. So if you wanted to donate in one fell swoop and grab all of Valerie's money,
do it.
But you couldn't do it all today, you can become a sustaining member of the station, and you could pledge to donate, say, $10 a month for the year, and that would get the whole of that donation from Valerie doubled up. And if you did things like that, you'd get special thank you gifts.
Like the 20-ounce stainless tumbler? Is that what it says? It just looks like a coffee glass to me.
It's much more than that, Anthony.
Much more.
It's an unbreakable coffee glass.
Unbreakable.
Much more.
Vacuum-insulated space-age technology.
Most exciting of all, it says KKFI on the side.
That's what you're getting.
And if you do $12.50 a month, then you can get a guest DJ certificate. Where you apparently get to guest DJ for 1 hour on KKFI. I don't even get an actual certificate for being a certified engineer, but you will.
I know. You could come on and you could play all sorts of terrifying and disturbing music that you listen to every day. And
yes, yes, true, Soros.
And I'm fairly sure that there will be someone there with their hand over the bleep button to make sure that we don't end up running up far more fines than you will give us in the donations.
Dark music does not necessarily desire the need for cursing.
I didn't say goth music. You were saying whoever came on could inflict their terrifying music.
Not only can you get our guest DJ certificate, you can also get a pair of reserve seats for Medea Benjamin on February 16th. 2019. She's going to be talking about a peace movement in an era of endless war. Normally, that's if you do $7.50 monthly, or if you donate $90 for a one-time donation.
And that's a very awesome event that has been organized by Judy Ansel, and that is a fundraiser for the station. And this lady has done two books, one about being in Afghanistan and one about Iraq. So very, very learned and very interesting person for discussions for the Middle East.
You can donate at kkfi.org or at 888-931-0901. Once again, 888-931-0901. And
If Medea Benjamin is not to your liking, and I can't see why on earth that she wouldn't be, you can also choose, if you make a $7.50 monthly donation or a $90 one-time donation, a pair of reserve seats at the Blues Kitchen to see live music there with the Reverend Jimmy Brotcher. And he has to be a real reverend or else he couldn't advertise himself
as
such.
But you can get that online these days. I've got one.
Well, true. Brandon Hutzbeth and Jason Taylor. So at the Blues Kitchen at BB's, the Blues Kitchen for Life from BB's Lawnside Barbecue.
Mm. Also, if you haven't donated to KKFI and are thinking about doing so, it is a great time to donate. As we said, your donation will be doubled for the next 10 to 15 minutes. I'm not sure how much time has passed. And we really are thankful and grateful for first-time donors, sustaining donors, and all donors of KKFI.
And if you wanted to donate a larger amount of money, a special guest gift this time, maybe only one time offer, because of the weather for spring coming up, we have 42-inch KKFI umbrella, and that will be in blue.
In blue. Blue, yes. For the KKFI color. What is it?
Well, it looks like blue and black.
We have so much blues.
It's written on in
It says blue.
Piece of paper, and it says blue with an arrow, but it might just be blue for the top and black for the lower part. It might be a two-tone.
It's fashionable for the spring when the rains come. It's fashionable in the summer if you're strolling along our many boulevards and
parks. Of being sunburned. It prevents sunburns.
And to avoid sunburn and rain, that would be
and
a
snow.
$20 monthly sustaining donation or a one-time donation of $240.
It's a bargain at twice the price.
And so many great gifts. And, you know, it's not just about the gifts. It's about this great programming, the great information, shows that you hear here on KKFI 90.1 Kansas City Community Radio.
And if you don't like the sound of any of the gifts, but you do like the sound of our radio station, and if you don't like the sound of our radio station, why are you listening? But if you do like the sound of our radio station and don't want the gifts, you can donate and not even ask for a gift. That saves on gifts for other people that desperately want gifts. Or you can donate a smaller amount if that's all you have.
That would be true altruism, to give to KKFI and not expect anything in return.
Yes.
But that's, you don't have to do that, though, because we have wonderful gifts for you.
We do have wonderful gifts.
Remember, no donation is too large, so please help keep us on the air, because we've really made a serious effort this last year to get a lot of focus on folks right here from our local community and voices from within our geographic area and topics that are important to everyone in this metro, right down to earth in a language that everyone can easily understand.
And we're making, Kansas City is a city that's making inroads in so many different areas. We're calling ourselves a smart city. And when you call yourself a smart city, that means you've raised your standard. And part of that is something that KKFI is making sure that the standard does stay raised, because we give some great information. We keep you up to date on the news. We also keep you up to date on some of the greatest bands that are around in the community. And just so much information about what's going on in Kansas City, our entrepreneurial community. So we're just so glad that you are able to find that kind of information just by tuning in to KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio.
This is Angela Belize here, and we want to thank you all for tuning in and listening to Every Woman on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio. We are volunteers here, and as a volunteer, it means a lot, because it's not just that I get to give information out to the public or that we get to give information out to the public. When we have guests come in, when we receive music to play on the music shows, it's an exchange. Mm-hmm. So it's a give and take. It's when I give something, I receive something. When someone receives something, I hope that I can give them something. And we're able to do that for our community, strengthening each other one by one.
Right.
And we are members of the community to make our community strong. So I'm going to go ahead and run into this poem of mine, because I usually do it at the top of the hour, but I wanted to give respect to to Charlotte O'Neill, also known as Mama C. Y'all ready?
We're ready.
No longer will we bend and do because we was told. No longer will we be sold. Your lies and material things. No more getting off your lynchings and hurting us. Enough. My daddy would say he's a man, and damn it, he means it. Back off and put your back into something that means something good, makes changes for the better. Remove all these pretentious rights. These white cops feel they got you. They glocks on my innocent sisters and brothers. And oh yeah, I'm speaking for my sisters and brothers, and for around the globe too. Keep your hands to yourself. Your pale skin makes you no better. God, I said God, made us all in his image, not yours. We ain't beneath you. We stand tall, equal the opportunities. And what you don't realize, this little system you said is destined for destruction. I'm speaking my truth, and I'm gunning too far to show you. We've come too far. If you didn't think we're going back, I take you back in case you forgot. Dr. Martin Luther King, his dream became the real thing. Harriet Tubman, pretty as can be, abolitionist, freed over 300 grade slaves, underground railroad way, so that you and I could be. Malcolm X, lessons A through Z. X the excuses on accepting poverty. X the excuses of thinking you can't. X the excuses of think you can't be better. X the excuses on reasons why you waste your time. And Think about our ancestors who pressed past the pain that you caused from inside the body and out. All the while our ancestors prayed for better days for us into the future and more. And I'm telling you, keep your hands to yourself. And I'm going to tell you once again, keep your hands to yourself in memory of Eric Garner, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, Sean Bell, Sandra Bland, Stephon Clark, Akai Gurley, Laquan McDaniel, Walter L. Scott, and Freddie L. Gray. And it's unfortunate for me to say, there's more that you've done. And to you, I say enough. And while I got your attention, and while you're listening, I want you to know, I'm aware. I'm well aware. Thank you.
There it is.
I can't think of a more perfect poem to start Black History Month. Thank you, Angela. That was, I don't know what to say.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that and pay respects to, well, that kind of took me by surprise and got me feeling emotional over here. I just want to pay the respects for those who came before us and who had to suffer and make way so that we could be.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do things just for self. We do things for the next generation and for those to come. And I didn't live in that time. So, I know that just really, this impact has not happened to me before. And Black History Month, okay, we can celebrate Black History Month. However, every day that I wake up as a black woman with breath in my body and my people wake up, black history is in the making every day.
Every day.
365
That's
days
right.
out of the year.
That's right.
So, okay, 1 month, you can call it what you wanna, but black history, it lives on.
It does.
Thank you for this.
Thank you. That was great.
So to hear more poems like that, please pledge and donate, whether it's a sustaining member or a one-off member donation. Donate to kkfi.org or phone in at 888-931-0901 to keep the poems coming from Angela.
There are tears in the studio here. Yeah. I wish that you all could see this, but it is... What Angela's voice and everything that she has said and all the heart and the soul and the mind that she's put into her poem is what we're hoping to do this entire year here on Every Woman, to really connect with everyone out there and to make connections with everyone out there and between everyone. And we really hope that you can just lend us a little hand, even just $10 or $20, to help keep us on the air and keep our voices loud and strong.
We want this station to be your voice, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're a non-black person of color,
whether you're a refugee or Muslim or Mexican or whoever you are, wherever you are, whether you're gay or trans, there are still lives being lost to protect the rights and to get rights for everyone. And we want those voices and those lives to not be ignored.
And whether you also have disabilities, because that is a community that is not mentioned enough in mainstream media.
So we come to the end of our Champions Challenge here. No, we still have time. There's still time to match, have every donation you make matched to double your power here on 90.1 FM KKFI. We still have 1 minute left that you can match Valerie Andrus' generous donation of
$100. You can do this. You can do this.
I know you can help us out. Just even $10.
$5.
At 888-931-0901 or at kkfi.org and click the donate button at the top, and it's really very easy to do to lend us a hand, everybody.
And we know there's that $100 donor out there anyway. So just go ahead and push the button. And
it must be out there.
Yeah, we know you're out there.
And if you're listening in the podcast, you can't help us with making the amount for Valiandra's, but you can still get the gifts and you can still donate. The donate button will still be out there on kkfi.org.
Sorry, I had to run over and hug Angela.
I'm not sure whether it was Una that needed the hug more or Angela.
Hey, it's some heavy, heavy emotion in here. And that's what life is about. You know, the energy that we give, it when you put it, you are able to put more energy out. You're able to remember something more when your emotion is attached to it. So today, I know for a fact I'm going to remember this day because of all the things that have happened, and it got punctuated by Angela Believe's poem. And I just thank God. I'm very grateful that I was able to be here.
So I think our time is just expired. We have 1 minute left in our show to wrap things up. And so, Marvita, would you like to give the final word here about the interview and everything?
Just want to say once again, thank you to Mama Charlotte O'Neill. Your spirit has definitely permeated this studio. I know you would be happy to have your sister in poetry, Miss Angela Believes, and I'll give her I'll make sure that she's able to connect with you, because I'm sure that she would love to receive an email from you or something to share the thing that you love the most, that you're so passionate about. And for all you other listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us every Saturday on Every Woman. Keep coming in. Please don't hesitate to join in and donate for these last seconds that we're here on the air.
And you can reach out to us and message us on our Facebook page, and as well as we've posted out there about the show, and we've posted and said about the pledge drive, and there's a donate button link, so you can also donate through Facebook.
So 888-931-0901.
Or go to kkfi.org. Thank you all very much, and see you next week.
Yep. Next is Donna Wolf with Urban Connections. This is 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and we'll see you next week with Every Woman.